Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, July 10th, 2017. The U.S. sets aside more money for South Sudan famine relief, but will it be enough?
No amount of humanitarian assistance will ever solve these problems. These problems are a manifestation and symptom of the conflicts that are going on in all four countries.
And an influential U.S. observer of U.S. foreign policy says it would be hard for the U.S. to abandon South Sudan after investing so heavily in its independence.
I think it's going to be difficult to turn our backs on this crisis because we have so much ownership over what has happened there, good and bad.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The U.S. announced over the weekend more famine relief aid for Nigeria, Somalia, Yemen, and South Sudan. Of the $639 million allotted to the four countries, $199 million will go to humanitarian assistance in South Sudan and in neighboring countries hosting its refugees. That brings this year's U.S. funding to more than $650 million for South Sudan. More than $2.5 billion has been committed to South Sudan over the course of the more than three-and-a-half-year conflict. The additional funding comes with a stern warning from USAID Deputy Assistant Administrator Robert Jenkins.
No amount of humanitarian assistance will ever solve these problems. These problems are a manifestation and symptom of the conflicts that are going on in all four countries. Somalia is also grappling with drought, but the conflict there, like the conflict in South Sudan, like the conflict in Yemen, like the conflicts in northern Nigeria, it's really the conflict that is causing these problems.
Jenkins, who serves as the U.S. Deputy Assistant Administrator for Democracy, Conflict, and Humanitarian Assistance Bureau, says the funding was part of the congressional appropriation received months ago in the final fiscal year 2017 budget agreement. Jenkins says it's the largest amount of humanitarian funding in U.S. history and is designed to quickly reach people in need.
The way our funding works is no-year money, so we are continually assessing, analyzing, and then funding needs throughout the year, regardless of where we are in the budget cycle. And we pride ourselves on having perhaps the world's fastest ability to fund emergencies and redirect funding if need be, and put assistance directly where it needs to be as fast as possible.
At the center of South Sudan's humanitarian crisis is a conflict that has displaced millions of people and triggered food insecurity across the country, according to Jenkins. He says President Salva Kiir has a critical role to play in ensuring that help reaches those who need it most.
The day after the anniversary of independence in South Sudan, I would just like to point out that we continue to hope that President Salva Kiir will expeditiously come through on his promise to allow the unfettered free flow of access for humanitarian assistance and humanitarian aid workers. And in that country, like all four of these countries, we call on all parties of the conflict to please allow humanitarian assistance to be provided apolitically and get to the people that need it best, while we continue with our international partners to press for peace and try to find a lasting end to these conflicts.
Richard Jenkins was speaking with journalists all over the world today from his office in Washington, D.C. Many U.S. observers are wondering if the Trump administration will continue to support South Sudan when the proposed White House budget seeks to cut nearly a third of the U.S. State Department budget and diminish funding for development projects and humanitarian aid in Africa. Carol Van Dam has more from Washington.
With the proposed White House budget for fiscal 2018 that makes deep cuts in the State Department budget, many fear South Sudan will fall from the radar of the Trump administration. Stephen Morrison, senior vice president at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says it will be hard for the U.S. government to turn away from South Sudan after it played such a critical role in its independence from Sudan.
I think it's going to be difficult to turn our backs on this crisis because we have so much ownership over what has happened there, good and bad. And I think that there's a strong constituency still within Congress around this, and there's a strong faith-based constituency in the United States that has been very vocal over the years on matters pertaining to South Sudan, as well as matters pertaining internally to Sudan, the government to the north.
Morrison says that the Trump administration has yet to name a special envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, a position that has been vacant for several months. And the White House has yet to nominate a person to fill the post of Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, which is the top administration envoy to the continent. Morrison says he's concerned about that, just like many others are.
I don't think that waiting until well into 2018 to begin to fill some of these most elementary jobs is a wise course at all. I mean, and I think that many people of very widely differing political views share that opinion.
But Congresswoman Karen Bass, a Democrat from California who is the ranking member on the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Africa, says she believes Secretary of State Tillerson is working on those appointments with President Donald Trump. She says she and the committee recently met with Tillerson, but were not able to bring up that issue. She says they discussed other important pressing issues of funding to alleviate famine in South Sudan.
We met with him after we had passed the $990 million during the continuing resolution of the budget. The concern I have now, though, was we have passed the budget, but the money has not gotten out of the door yet. So if I were to meet with him today, my conversation would be different.
Bass says members of Congress have pressed the White House to fill the vacant top positions on Africa. She says lawmakers have also raised their concerns about the proposed White House budget on foreign aid.
All of us pushed back on the cuts to the State Department and to USAID. So I think that's the good news. I mean, it was a very bipartisan hearing. We've had a couple, one on the budget in general, and two, we had a hearing with Tillerson. And there just is no support for those cuts, Democrats or Republicans in the House.
The U.S. is the biggest donor for emergency humanitarian operations in South Sudan since violence broke out in December 2013. Bass says she is confident that the proposed cuts will be vastly reduced when the Republican-controlled Congress passes a final budget for fiscal 2018. Carol Van Dam for VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan President Salva Kiir is rejecting suggestions by opposition leaders that the 2015 peace agreement should be renegotiated. In a sixth anniversary Independence Day address to the nation yesterday, the president said regional and international communities should get behind government efforts to implement the deal. Mr. Kiir's position goes against a recent resolution on South Sudan passed by IGAD heads of state, who called for a concrete plan to revitalize the deal. Waki Simon Mudu has the details for VOA from Juba.
In his Independence Day address, President Kiir wanted that nobody should interfere with the peace agreement and the ruling SPLM party reunification agreement.
These agreements form the governing framework of the transitional government of national unity. In light of this, it is our considered opinion that any further renegotiation of these agreements would be counterproductive.
The SPLM IO faction allied to former First Vice President Riek Machar has repeatedly stated that the peace agreement has collapsed and has called for its renegotiation. IGAD heads of state have called for an urgent high-level meeting of the parties who signed the agreement in August 2015 to talk about concrete measures on how to fully implement the agreement. Mr. Kiir addressed the nation from the State House, commonly known as J1, rather than at the John Garang Mausoleum as he has on previous Independence Days. Juba's streets were deserted yesterday after the government cancelled the official celebrations due to a lack of money. Again, President Kiir:
we did not feel that it was appropriate to spend whatever little funds we may have to celebrate when our people are hugely affected by the economic crisis that has made it difficult for many citizens to afford even one meal per day.
Mr. Kiir says his government is working to address widespread malnutrition and food insecurity across South Sudan.
We will continue to exert all efforts to develop a long-term solution to the food insecurity crisis in our country. We are exerting efforts to incrementally improve the security situation in the country to allow our displaced citizens to return home.
Speaking about the national dialogue he launched more than a month ago, Mr. Kiir announced that his government has earmarked 2.4 billion South Sudanese pounds to facilitate the exercise. Mr. Kiir appealed to armed groups fighting to topple his government to accept his offer of amnesty and lay down their arms. It's no longer justifiable to fight as this only leads to the loss of innocent lives, the destruction of properties, and delays in building the nation, Mr. Kiir says. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Church leaders call on South Sudanese to forgive one another to mark Independence Day. More on that story after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you believe in second chances?
As we human beings, we are given second chances. We are meant to be given, even when someone misbehaves, at least you should be given a second chance to mend that way, that wrong way you were going before. You should leave it and you should go through the right way.
I do believe in second chance, because in life, if you are focusing in something you want to do, you are sheep, unless you don't accept the challenges. So you accept the challenges and you are facing them and you are still continuing.
There are always second chances, because if we encourage people not to believe in second chances, that means we'll be encouraging them not to believe in themselves. But you should know that no matter how hard you fall, you should get up and try again.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Council of Churches organized a prayer service in Juba today to mark the sixth anniversary of independence. Church leaders are urging South Sudanese not to lose hope despite the ongoing conflict and the enormous challenges they face, including insecurity and extreme food shortages across many parts of the country. Tito Justin was at the service and has this report for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of Christians gathered at the Juba Christian Center to praise God for seeing the South Sudanese people through 6 years of independence, even though the country has been mired in nearly 4 years of civil war. Some said tears as they sang songs of worship. Juba resident Margaret Matiang attended the service. She says it has been a long road.
It is 6 years of our independence, but it's also 6 years that we have to reflect back and see where we have gone wrong. There's a lot of sufferings on the streets of Juba. As Christians, what's our role? So I actually came here to gain spiritual comfort and also to be encouraged with the other Christians and to know that tomorrow will be better.
Bishop Emeritus Paride Taban, a retired bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Dorit, condemned the ongoing violence and says all he can do for his people now is fast and pray.
I cannot talk now because brothers are killing brothers. I don't know if you are a father and your children are killing themselves. What can you do? I'm a father of this nation. And when my children are killing themselves, what can I do? I have to put myself in the hand of God. Because once you say something, your words will be distorted. It is better to pray so that your good words can be distorted.
Bishop Paride says there is no reason for South Sudanese to continue killing each other and called on parents and guardians to provide their children with pens, not guns, adding education is key to the future of South Sudan.
This is what happened to many countries now. The educated people, the civilized people, they solve their problem by praying, not by gun. Anything the gun will not solve, it will only multiply problem and suffering to the people of South Sudan.
Father James Oyet Lentancio, Secretary General of the South Sudan Council of Churches, believes South Sudan can still achieve lasting peace.
We have lost many people for the independence of this country. Many lives have gone for this country. So I want to thank God. God, thank you for giving us independence. We want to recognize your presence, even in this difficult time, even in these challenging moments, even in these moments of pain and tears. want to thank you.
Father Oyet says he believes the South Sudanese people can amicably resolve their differences. Reverend Joseph Bilal called on all South Sudanese to work together to restore peace.
To our leaders, they must be also peacemakers, peace builders, not destroyers. You know, it is not by coincidence that they are now leaders. God has actually made them leaders, and if God made them to be leaders, then they are leaders for peace, not leaders for war.
Reverend Bilal called on South Sudanese to join hands and say they are sorry to one another for whatever offenses they have committed against one another, so they can work towards peace now, not tomorrow. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
South Sudanese living in Adjumani, northern Uganda, gathered together yesterday to celebrate their country's 6th Independence Day anniversary, even though no official festivities were held in South Sudan to commemorate the day. Simon Peter Apiku has the story for VOA from Adjumani, northern Uganda.
Christopher Taban says many South Sudanese in northern Uganda feel it's important to celebrate the day their people gained independence from Sudan.
This day is very significant to us because it brings in the element of solidarity and unity. We tend to commemorate this day because it has been hard-won independence.
South Sudanese native Bosco Lagu says his people struggled for decades to become independent. And Lagu says such a struggle must not be forgotten, regardless of the country's current political and economic turmoil.
It's very important for us to celebrate because it is hard fought and we earn it. So no matter how much the situation in the country is going back, we have to celebrate because it made us who we are today.
Anthony Andruga relocated his family to Adjumani from Juba when a fresh wave of violence broke out in the capital a year ago.
Due to the current crisis, most of the family, part of the families are here. So we feel we have to unite and celebrate the day together with them.
The South Sudan government cancelled this year's official Independence Day celebrations in Juba due to the economic crisis. Kevin Oyet, who helped organize celebrations in Adjumani, says 6 years ago he never thought things would turn out the way they did in South Sudan.
It's very unfortunate to see my beautiful country that I voted for in 2011 undergoing this current crisis, I mean economic and political crisis.
The UN's refugee agency says the ongoing conflict has created the world's fastest growing refugee crisis. With nearly a million South Sudanese refugees living in settlement camps across Uganda under what Lagu calls appalling conditions.
Our people are living in a refugee camp in a hard situation. They left their home back. They have got good houses that they live in, but they are forced to come and stay under a tree, maybe a carpet, whereby our children are getting every day. We are dying in a diaspora.
Oyet argues South Sudan's problems and the suffering of its people will not end unless the country's leaders abandon their selfish ambitions and put the interest of their people first.
If all our political leaders, right from the opposition and the government side, will have the political will, then I believe the lost glory will be gained. It's very much possible.
For VOA News, I'm Simon Peter Apiku in Adjumani, northern Uganda.
South Sudanese in the diaspora commemorated their country's 6th anniversary of independence with mixed reactions. John Tanza was in Canada's city of Winnipeg, Manitoba, over the weekend and spoke to a handful of South Sudanese who gathered at a Sudanese-Canadian community center to celebrate Independence Day.
This is like we are remembering what the Lord have given us. And we need to keep that in our memory all the time. So we need to make sure that our small kids even to learn what's this day about, and also to know where we come from, and also to know our identity, where we belong.
I'm from South Sudan. I'm actually very happy today to celebrate the 6th anniversary of independence of South Sudan. I believe today a lot of people are celebrating there, and that is the good things, and that is a good spirit.
I'm from Winnipeg. Yes, it's an independent day, but it doesn't reflect what an independent country needs. Because when people are suffering, what did it mean? I tell them to stop the war and put the innocent people as a priority. Those were the people that people were fought for. And so let the independent make meaning for them. not to the leaders. So for sure, I show up for solidarity, but I'm not in the mood of the celebration because I know they destroy the country.
This day means a lot, but unfortunately, we couldn't celebrate it the way we meant to, or the way it meant to be celebrated. It's 6 years anniversary because of the war again that broke out in 2013. That broke our heart, and still the war continue. We're supposed to celebrate as a South Sudanese for the freedom of the people that fight for the country, that we finally got our country. That's the dream. That's what we wanted. That was the goal, and the goal has been achieved. But then, unfortunately, the war broke out again. I would tell them to stop fighting and bring the peace, the genuine peace that we all need in South Sudan. I just came from Juba, June 1st of this year, and I have seen people are hungry, people are just walking skeleton.
This is a day to remember people of South Sudan that have sacrificed their life and properties to earn independence for us. You know, I'll tell them to stop what they are doing. It's nonsense. It's stupid that they are killing people. They have turned a country that they have liberated into a killing ground. This is unfortunate. It's not acceptable.
I'm the one of the leader here in Winnipeg. Oh, the independent mean a lot because I believe even you, when your child or your son born, you will be happy in that day because you get the new born, which is that's what it means to us. We have Independence Day after we fought 20 years or 22 years.
Today is like a symbol for us. We have to celebrate it, at least to keep the country there. But still, we have tears in our eye for our people who are suffering back home because they are our people and we belong to the country. I wish that everybody should be happy today. I would say that let them leave their differences and look into the suffering of their people.
Here in Winnipeg, today the South Sudanese community in Manitoba celebrating the independence of South Sudan. It's really one of the great days in our history. As people of South Sudan have fought for about 5 decades for independence. Then the people of South Sudan just wanted no less than independence. We want peace. Peace is what the people of South Sudan want it constantly.
Those are some voices of South Sudanese living in the Canadian city of Winnipeg, Manitoba, expressing their views on South Sudan's independence anniversary. When South Sudan gained its independence in 2011, the new nation adopted a national anthem and a coat of arms as a symbol of statehood. As the country marked its 6th anniversary yesterday, we asked South Sudanese on the streets of the Ugandan capital Kampala and in Juba to sing the national anthem, and we received some interesting reactions.
Actually, I don't know. I don't have time to learn because this nationalism has been made when I'm in Uganda here. So the time I spend in South Sudan is little the time I spend outside in the South Sudan. So I don't know more knowledge about what is taking place.
Yes, I know, but somehow. Oh God, just glorify for your great and South Sudan, land of reservoirs. And you so united and so harmony. Oh, motherland, we rise, was so blessed with the guide and stop and sing song of freedom. We join. I don't know it well. I want somebody to teach me how to sing it well.
Oh, God, we praise and glorify you for your grace on South Sudan. The land of great abundance for years.
Yeah. I don't know it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm hoping to learn it. I don't know. Through lake, I don't know how can I learn it.
Oh God, we praise and glorify you for your praise of South Sudan. The land is the Paris for your praise for peace and symphony. Oh God. No.
Okay, I can sing it for you.
O God, we praise and glorify you for your grace on South Sudan, land of great abundance, of all us united in peace and harmony. O glory, we grace, raising up with the guiding star, and sing song of freedom with joy. For justice, liberty, and prosperity shall forevermore reign. O great patriots, of all stand up in silence and respect, saluting our martyrs whose blood cemented our national foundation. We bow to protect our nation. Oh God, bless us, Sudan.
Our thanks to Maguma Davis Wakarinj in Kampala and Nabil Biagio and Waki Simon Mudu in Juba, who gathered that audio. And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Kapio by Emi Yoere.
Amboro ni kali chipare, komika kini mbori na jika ko onga rongole yo. Komika pini mbori na jika ko ome rongole yo. Adeni kali akumani wachiri yo kilikili. Adeni kali minanja jako. Habakule mini kali minanja bajangako. Miadunga yote minungu pachipa ate, nyadunga yote jimi manyasa, nyadunga yote jimi manyasa kwa.
Naduru kifuara biya chipa ichinji mbya nani Mbiko barakati kifumite ni ginia Aguyo kifuwa wande, aguyo kiena aragi Aguyo kinde biya, aguyo kiena ameme Nyadunga yoto.
We've been listening to Emi Yoere with the song Kapio. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow evening and hope you'll be too for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.